ministry.
Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing some of these texts. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray for us?
Dear Father, thank you for your safe and security in your house, my Lord. You see it this, Lord, and we bring us more in tune with thee, Lord, and fresh our souls, Lord, mighty and powerful. Give us a message, the marshal will deliver, Lord. Lord, may our praises, may our supplications, prayers, and offerings be accepted in your sight, Lord. May we praise the great and holy name, Lord. May you be praised for tonight, Lord, for this church and for all the churches that are saved, Lord, saved people, saved ministers, reaching out to the full counsel of the Lord, of God, Lord. See souls to the saved, mighty and powerful, and backsliders restored as well, Lord. Give this today, Lord, see souls mighty and powerful. Use the tracts, word of life, Lord, and testimonies, and give out those that are lost, Lord. See souls mighty and powerful for this day, especially the tracts that went out yesterday, throughout the many months and years before, Lord. See souls mighty and powerful. With the churches that are started now, or are started before, Lord, and the services that are still to start throughout the world, Lord, may your Spirit touch those that are saved, Lord, give them a blessing, Lord, and bring them more tune with thee and help them in their Christian life, and correct those that are lost, Lord. Say so by the power of this, Lord. With the Jews in their homeland, deliver from any trouble, give them safe and well, Lord, give them any harm, Lord, and send messengers. And save the Jews as well, Lord. They need your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord as well, Lord. Again, by us. And pray for the Jews throughout this world, Lord. Protect them and keep, Lord. And bring them to saving grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have Mark to come to deliver the gospel, Lord. May you see a blessing, Lord. And show us out into the word of God. Thy essence for us. And to our lives. Follow and honor for our glory for Jesus Christ. Again,
amen. 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 Let's take the wee black book. And we will start with... Precious Lord, take my hand. Hymn number 29 in the little black book. Hymn number 29. Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's make a joyful noise. Three verses.
to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak vilely, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and the other error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry. He will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with flying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall you be troubled. You careless woman, for the vintage shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, you woman, that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth for your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up with thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and the towers shall be dens forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of fox, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And the people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet rest places. When it shall heal, coming down in the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth the earth, the feet of the ox, and the ass. Amen.
You went your way.
Just want to remind everybody to make sure you get one of those wee red prayer lists if you want the list of all the things that we're praying for here. But especially, don't forget to pray for Israel. The Lord, there's two promises that I can think of the Bible that don't require you to be a Christian. One is to honour your mother and father, and your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. And the other one is to bless Israel and you'll be blessed, or curse Israel and you'll be cursed. None of them require you to be a Christian, but to do the right thing, and there are rewards for that. So please do pray for Israel as Christians. Pray for their provision and their protection. Bible says they will be unbeatable until the Antichrist sets himself up in the Temple on the Mount, of which case they're commanded to run for the hills. But until then, they're unbeatable. So don't be afraid to speak out in their defence. I know of a lady who is a Christian lady, but listens to too much terrestrial TV, and she is actually doubting Israel because of the children, the Hamas supporting in the Hamas supported Gaza supported by Hamas, whatever. And because their PR is so wickedly done, they are garnering the sympathies of many people in churches. Why is Israel doing this? And the truth of why Israel is fighting this war is Hamas and Gaza started a shooting war that they couldn't finish. And they're paying the price, and they won't let any of their citizens out of the area because they want their children to be killed to make Israel look bad. And that's it. That's the Bible view. You know me, I'm not a political creature, I'm not a religious creature, I am a Bible teacher, I'm a student of it. And if you set yourself against Israel, you set yourself against God, and you will come in second place. In the same way that Germany came in second in the Second World War, and the same way that Japan came in second in the Second World War, you will come in second if you set your face against God. So pray for them if you would. Don't forget each other. Pray for John, not that John, the John that sits there, John McGowan. and his wife Catherine. Please pray for them. For Pat and Steve, Steve has a hospital visit on Friday morning to test out the surgery that he had on his wrist. Please remember that. Pray for Colin. Pray for Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank. Frank is just 1 week into his new job and seems to be doing well by all accounts. So do keep praying for young Frank, if you would. Other than that, the Lord knows what private prayer requests each one of you have. If anybody has any more than there were this morning, all you need to do is lift your hand or put your name down. I don't need the details, but John, any private prayer requests? Yeah, okay. Christine and Beryl, I'm not embarrassed here or anything, but if you have anything, you don't have to give us details, just your name, and we'll pray that the Lord grant those prayer requests according to his will. I think that's about that. Norman has, is it the final piece of your court case on Friday at 9:45? We would appreciate your prayers for the judge and the barristers that are all involved, that there would be a good resolution for this, that everything will, I'm praying that there is, and in faith I'm saying that there will be, but please do pray for that, the tail end of that court case. And well, a few wee bits and pieces of work to be done around the church, and they have noticed if you come in at the back, we've only one fence up there where we used to have two, and we're, and when I say we, Norman is, I'm just handing him tools. We're planning to put up a new fence there. So Norman's like the surgeon and I'm like the nurse. That when Norman says, when Norman says scalpel, I hopefully hand him the right scalpel. When he says sledgehammer, I hope hand him the right sledgehammer. But please do pray about that. And we managed to source a little bit of metal sheeting for the side of the church, and Lord willing, that will be going up before too long. And then, well, your painting will never see the light of day again. I hope for at least 30 or 40 years. But it'll be painted. And it'll be waterproof, and it'll be looked after. So I am looking forward to getting that all sorted out too. That's all bought and paid for. It's just a matter of picking it up and get them installed. And one other thing, have the car going in for some work on it. I would appreciate your prayers for that as well. And I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else? Okay, that'll be. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we will have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your many helps. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and for your precious promise that through God all things are possible. And we really need to cling to those promises today. You know of everything going on in the world, Israel especially, of Ukraine and Russia, and the awful harvest of men's bodies and souls that's taken place. There are at least 500,000 people have lost their lives because of a greedy communist, Lord. And I pray you please, Lord, that people would be held accountable. We pray you too for each other, for all of our private prayer requests, and you know what they are, Lord. You know the things we only talk to you about, and I pray that you would grant them according to your will. For the work in the church and around the church and the work that we have in our homes, I pray you, Lord, for the souls that are here, and especially for Steve and Pat and their hospital appointments and whatever it is that's going on in their lives right now. Pray for that as well. For Carol and Stephen, for John and Catherine, for young Colin, Lord, out in Ukraine. Pray for his life, Lord, this day. And for Lane and Frank and Dr. Shane. For Ed Bissett, Lord, and his ongoing treatment for that cancer in his body. I pray you, Lord, for a great healing for that form. Thank you too, Lord, for the freedom that we still have to hand out gospel tracts and for the leaflets that went out and for the people that we've spoken to and those that have mentioned coming out for a bit. You know, Lord, and I pray your good hand upon them as well. Please put your hand and greatly oppose those that hate you in all spheres of life, especially the corridors of power, Lord. And please, Lord, bless those that love you and want to do the right thing. Most of all, Lord, please save souls, and please use us to do it as and when possible. Please be with our sister churches, any soul, any church that's opening the King James Bible and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord. Please bless the preachers and teachers and hearers of it. And we pray your presence with us this evening, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just deliver us what it is we need to know. And Father, we lay us at your feet and pray a wee bit of help with this new song too. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. 189. I have to get my big book glasses out. If you want to take and turn to 189, we will be given this hymn. What is the name of the hymn?
I never will cease to love him.
There are four verses. Monica is going to play an extra verse. I'm going to do my very best to sing it. Keep your ears cocked to Christine. She, I think, is the one with the local knowledge in this thing. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise. Sing number 13. We'll stand for this one, and this will be our multiple hymn of the evening. After this, we'll be opening our Bibles. So, hymn number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I know you all know this, so let's make a joyful noise whenever we sing this here. Correction, much pointing of fingers and naming bad decisions and one thing and another, and of course correction. This one, this little portion of God's word, is to do with people considering secular wisdom as being much more important than godly wisdom. And I hope at least a little bit that by the end of the service, if you haven't thought much about it already, that you would consider things that's going on in the world and what the Bible says and the things that's going on in Christians' lives as good examples of the difference between secular wisdom and godly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're beginning at verse number 17, And we're going to read the next 15 verses. This is what Paul said to the church of Corinth. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Jesus Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. You're not going to believe this, but I just see this last verse is taken from Jeremiah chapter 9, the chapter that we were reading this morning. I just noticed that there now. People are saying, should you not be reading that a bit more closely whenever you're doing your preparation? But I just see that now. Let's pray, and then we'll read a bit more. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your many precious promises, for the reminder that the power of the salvation is in your word, Lord. And I pray you would guide our thoughts and lead us and inspire us and give us our daily bread as we sit down and read your word, Lord. Please bless the preachers of your word across the world, whether it's done by contention or whether it's done in all good faith. Please bless the people that hear with conviction of sin and judgment to come, and Lord, salvation. We love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The gist of all of this is that Paul, telling the church of Corinth, who was obviously up to, there's some immorality and some bad preaching going on in the church, all the things of which people pursue in this world for enjoyment or for thrills, or some people even make lives of stirring up bother and causing drama. And Paul is saying all of the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil encourage you to do, allow you to do, or teach you to do, when it comes to the wisdom of God and the teachings of God, they're downright dangerous sometimes. I picked out a couple of verses that really spoke to me, and I am sure you've heard them many times. Verse number 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. In other words, whenever you are reading your Bible by the hospital bed of a loved one or a friend or someone that you're trying to reach in the name of God, and they don't love God or they have no interest in God, it's just a waste of time to them. A waste of precious minutes or hours that they have left before they have to meet the very man that they're rejecting. In verse number 27, the Word of God says, God has chosen these foolish things. I'll give you an example of a foolish thing. You're listening to one right now. I have a career in IBM in my pocket. A career in IBM used to be at one time the biggest IT company in the world. Then Microsoft sort of usurped a lot of their market share. But I have a career in IT and IBM in my pocket. And I gave it up because I loved Derry so much. I was in the church at the time. And I wasn't going to join a company to run away from a boss that was nothing but a Christ-rejecting atheist. And so I stayed. And here I am today with a promising career as a preacher. I gave up the work with globetrotting. And the Lord put me back in touch with an American lady that has me globetrotting anyway. So I put all of those to one side with the potential for advancement and being paid in dollars with many zeros to preach the gospel in Derry. And people would say, you're stupid. That was not the smartest decision to make. Guess what, friends? I can sleep at night. I have a very understanding boss, and I got enough to do now. The Bible says God has chosen those things that Christians do that seem completely nonsensical, that then work to confuse and to confound the wise and the mighty. And people be saying, you go to church, you sing songs for half an hour, you put money in the plate, you sit around and you chat, and you help each other out. Where's the profit in that? What do you get out of it? I get to lift other people up on my shoulders, and occasionally I get lifted up on other people's shoulders. I get to make life a bit easier for folks. I get to give people a bit of dignity. I get to share the God that saved my soul with other people. I get to share the peace that passeth all understanding. I get to do those things. And there is not one book in the world, apart from the King James Bible, that can do that. I remember the words of a lecturer he was speaking to medical students of many years ago. And he was a Christian man, and he threw out this challenge to, what book, what do you do, what do you bring to a soul that is teetering on the brink of eternity to soothe their soul, to give them direction? What book do you bring in? Many were talking about these wonderful books on medicine and psychiatry and all of these books. And the preacher said, not one of those things will help a soul about to step off into eternity. I want to tell you, friends, I have sat by the bedsides of those that are stepping off into eternity. And there's not one TV program that soothes the soul. There's not one bottle of alcohol. There's not a bottle of drugs. There's not physical activity. There is the Radio Times is no good. The Encyclopedia Britannica is no good. I had a book on physics that was about an inch and a half or 2 inches thick. And whenever I was an ignorant atheist, a Christ rejecter, I was challenged about where my Bible was. And I held up this book on physics. And I said, there's my Bible. And I look back on that and laugh. And I admit that the lecturer said, the Word of God is the only book that's any good to someone in that situation. You think even on the thief on the cross. What book? What words are any good to him? The only word that was any good was the Word of God made flesh. When he made that promise, today you will be with me in paradise. Would forgiveness for Stephen have done any good? Would a scoring out of the debt that he owed to all the people from whom he had thieved over the years, would that have done him any good? Of course not. The promise in the Word of God is the only thing that did him any good. And God has chosen those things. There are many instances in the Word of God. And probably one of the greatest parables that speaks to us of this is the parable of the house built upon the sand and the house built upon the rock. We are all old enough to know and see how much the world has changed in the last 5 years. Although, to be honest, I would say it's always been that way. We've just had the covers drawn back and been given a look. The man that builds his house upon a sand, things that change and shift, and you couldn't depend upon them, the things of the world. Look, the house looks grand and everything's wonderful until there's rainstorms like we had there, or the wind starts blowing. And the foundation's washed away and the house falls. And it's a great fall. It's a total destruction, a total write-off. That is what we are talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about. And he said, this is what happens to the person that doesn't listen to what I'm saying and implement it in their lives. If they do, however, that's like finding a huge big lump of rock and building your house on it. Doesn't matter how hard the rain falls, doesn't matter how hard the wind blows, it will stand. And that is what happens to any soul that bases their life upon Jesus Christ and builds up from that foundation based upon the teachings of Christ. In Romans 8:28, Jesus said again the same thing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, when you're saved, and listen to what God says. Doing what God says. It's mentioned time and time and time again, but yet and all, many times we as Christians, and it's easy to happen, we can get sidetracked. And we see a flashing light over here, and we're just like everybody else. We notice the flashing lights. That's why signs have flashing lights on them, so that our eye is drawn to them. And we lose track. We can lose track of God very quickly. It's very important that you keep your attention on the Lord. It'll never happen by accident. It'll happen when we make it happen. I want to give you a few things that the world will say. And I want for you to bear in mind as we just go down this list. I have about 15 or 20 here. I'll go through them real quick. There is a reason why the STD clinics are well subscribed to in hospitals. There is a reason why the abortion clinics are well subscribed to in hospitals. There is a reason why alcohol consumption is so great, not just in this part of the world, but in general. And there is a reason why there are so much alcohol-related problems in hospitals. There's a reason why there's so much drug abuse, why there's so much child abuse, why there's so much spousal abuse, why there's so much violence and theft, why everything gets turned upside down, and you now are the troublemaker, because even the judges are filthy in the sight of God and the sight of man, is because they're following this secular advice. And I hope that you follow along with me. There's no mystery here. These are things that people say and in fact incorporate into their lives. The world says that unless you get a degree or a PhD, you will never get anywhere in this world. And if you have a PhD or a degree, good for you. I know we're all old enough now that our degrees were our qualifications were probably in something useful. And that's grand. But when you get children today going for sociology and psychology and gender studies and you would have been better taking a loan for that $120,000 and bought a house and rented it out than taking money and having that tied around your back. If you have qualifications, you will get far in this world. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You will get far in this world if you set your mind to getting far in this world. Qualifications never made somebody smart and never imparted wisdom to anybody. Another thing the world and the flesh and the devil will tell you, just have a wee drink after work and it'll help you relax. There is a reason why George Best, probably the best footballer in the world, had 2 liver transplants. He listened to that too ardently. Or try some drugs. That'll loosen you up at the party. And you'll be able to enjoy yourself more and have fun. Then you'll be able to put yourself out there, maybe get a hookup tonight. Have a casual physical relationship with someone whose maybe first name you don't even remember in the morning. You get a free trip to the abortion clinic afterwards. You'll be alone if you don't put in the effort to fit in with everybody else. I would far rather have been one of the eight in the ark than of the other 10, 15, 20,000, or who knows how many, the rest of the population of the earth, who fitted into the top of the mountain that soon went underwater. If you don't dress the part, you'll never attract a mate. Have you ever seen the way people, it's not dressing, it's undressing to attract a mate. And if you're dressing like a prostitute, you're going to attract prostitutes' customers. Whatever you need to be happy is the most important thing in the world. That is the most important and foundational aspect of modern day Satanism. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Another one is make as much money as you can. And I'm all for making as much money as you can, as long as that's not your God. As long as you give to God what he asks of you, and you are prepared to set that aside and use it as God directs, not as money directs. You don't let anything else but God be your God. Financial security is paramount. It's good to have financial security. That there is a certain amount of peace to be had in financial security. But there is a peace that every man, woman, and child needs, and that is the peace which passeth all understanding, which doesn't come from money. It comes from spending quality time with God and being honest with him. Take it easy on a Sunday. You don't have to go to church. Spend the time with your family. Do you know how many families are on their way to hell? Believe in that. Religion is the cause of all wars. As I was writing that down, I thought, you know what? Technically, that's right. Bad religion. The tail end of Revelation chapter 18 is this to say about the whore of Babylon and all her harlot daughters. It says, in her was found all the blood of all the slain of all the earth. But anyone that has ever died an unnatural or a, how would I put that? Has ever been murdered or put to death? Has ever been killed by somebody else? Is there because they believe something different to what God has in the Bible. Whether it's a drunk driver, whether it's the carry-on over in Russia, or that farce over in Israel when they're trying to turn the world against Israel again, it's all down to false religion. Churches for weak people. Have you ever tried living as a Christian? When you have to say, no, I'm not going out drinking, or no, I'm not going out whoring, or no, I don't like those dirty stories. Have you ever tried that? Or walking around the doors trying to invite people to come out to church to consider their souls, and the mouthful of language that you get coming back your direction. And you get that every time, maybe on 100 doors that you knock on. Real church is for weak people who turn themselves over to God to be made into new creatures that have their faith in Jesus Christ and him alone and not in their own wisdom or education and teaching. And you will have God's strength. If there is a God, I'm sure he'd see me as good as anyone else. That's true. And he'd weigh my good deeds against my bad, and then he'd let me into heaven. Those first two statements are absolutely true. There is a God, that's one statement. And he sees me just like everybody else, that's two statements. Sorry, the third statement is true too. And he will weigh my good deeds against my bad. It's in Revelation 20. But I'm not going to heaven, that's the lie. The lie is you'll get to heaven because you worked your way there. That's never been in the Bible. The Bible says that getting to heaven's a free gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. It says in Revelation 20 that if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going into the lake of fire for the end of the ages of eternity. You can do whatever you like because you're a Christian. Do you know how many Christians frequent pubs? I don't drink, but I go to a pub. Well, pubs are for drinking. So why do you go? I want to fit in with everybody else. And then we're down to number six again. And then before you know it, there's a Christian fella, has someone slipped him a mickey, and he's ended up in the bed of some wee girl, and he has to partake in murder to get rid of the evidence of his midnight meeting, in quotes. And before you know it, he is a string of bother as long as your arm. His testimony's ruined, his life's in tatters. He's maybe picked up something you can't cure with an injection. And what sort of life, what sort of testimony is that? There's a bunch of other thoughts and ideas. I'm sure you can probably think of one or two things that people will say. How do you relax if you don't drink? I was challenged with that once, and I was sitting thinking, what sort of life is it that you have that you need to drink to relax? I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. My worries about eternity are gone. Yes, things will crop up here and now that I need to talk to God to about on a daily basis, but my worries about eternity are gone. I'm not worried about that anymore. There's a lot of other thoughts and ideas that are out there that the world has tried to use to replace the teachings of the Bible and the promises that God has in the Bible. Another one is, if you're feeling a bit low, what you need is an upper or a downer or some retail therapy. I'm sure you've heard of that before. But nobody ever considers that they might actually be suffering from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because the man that stands behind the pulpit is a good-for-nothing, lying, cheating murderer, just like the Lord said about the scribes and the Pharisees. You're your father the devil, a liar and a thief from the very beginning. And all the stuff that they stand up and preach, look at me, I'm rich, and I'm healthy, and I'm wealthy, and I'm wise. And I've got everything the world has to offer, except an ounce of humility and a desire to get down on your hands and knees and roll your sleeves up and work at the coalface where God actually needs you to be, instead of standing up there with your private jet and homes all over the world. How many of these preachers, these ministers, and the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, or Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life movement, how many of them are like idols that people are covetous of and want all that they have? And they don't realize, your man's probably not even saved, and if he is, he'd just be saved by the skin of his teeth. Feeling bad about stuff. That might actually be the Holy Spirit talking to you and saying, look, you need to get your life sorted out. In church circles, it's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the only way to feel good again, if you want to put it like that, is to get it right with God. If you need to get saved, get saved. If there's something you're doing in your life and God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hi boy, or hi girl, you need to quit doing that, or you need to start doing something else, that's still the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't know, the world says, I've got something that'll help lift you out of that wee doldrum. Take this wee white pill. What do they call antidepressants? Take an antidepressant and you'll feel better. I know there are a few people that may actually need antidepressants because of chemical imbalances in their body, but the vast majority of people on them in this day and age do not need them. They could do with getting saved and getting right with God and suddenly seeing as a new creature that their life is infinitely better. All those things, some of them seem eminently sensible, but all of them, the devil can take and use, and he's an expert at using these things to destroy you, to drag you down the garden path, or to lead you up the garden path and abandon you there as your house comes tumbling down whenever reality meets the wee bubble that people have in their heads. Some people say, well, there's no heaven or hell, therefore we're just an evolved creature and there's no judgment or accountability. But let me tell you something, friends, from a purely secular point of view, if I was to take this book and compare it to history books and see all the prophecies that are in this book come true, like it says in the history books, like it says in TV today, I'd be seriously thinking, hold on a wee second, this book keeps coming true. Even Even the horoscopes in the back of the paper now is true once a week for one of the 12 horoscopes, but the word of God is batting 100. I'd be seriously thinking, maybe God has something here. And sometime, very begrudgingly, you will come across an entity like the BBC that will stand up and a little note in the medical part of the website, away at the bottom of a page, and they will say, the Christians seem to do an awful lot better with mental illness than lost people. Because they have someone to talk to. A God that can literally reach down and touch you and take things away from you. Biblical prophecy is coming to pass. And all the things that people are doing in this world that they think is for making the world better, I don't know about you friends, but it doesn't seem to be working very well. We have our country is being divided, destroyed from the inside out by the very people that were trusted to run it properly. And it's not just here in Northern Ireland, it's UK as a whole, it's all of the Western world, Canada, America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Doesn't seem to be happening in the communist countries. I think it's already done its work there in those countries, but they're doing their best to destroy our countries. The family is falling apart because they're watching the nonsense on television instead of taking their kids to the table and saying, phones in the bucket, all switched off. At the end of our meal, we're going to read a chapter of the Bible, and I want to hear one question from each of you on. That doesn't exist anymore. The things that God said would literally keep people's heads screwed on, families together, and society going in the right direction and looking out for those that are weak or old. That's being left to secular organization. The government wants to be a children's parents. Do you know how many times in a child's life in school and how many places the government sticks its arm in and elbows the parent out? In sex education, in abortion, in contraceptives, in transgender medicine. All of these things will be visited upon your child without your permission by a government that hates the guts of everything good and proper. And we're supposed to say that secular teaching is better for people. It's not working. We have the knowledge and the technology and the ability to wipe out disease, hunger, energy poverty, we'll be able to charge all our phones and our cars, to end all the wars and give everybody everything that they need. We have the ability to do that. To give every child a full belly and a complete, a rounded education. But the fools that we have in government, they don't want that. Because they're not working for the same man that you and I are working for. They're working for the devil, the god of this world. And the god of this world, the devil, Lucifer, that old serpent, the dragon that drew in a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, the dragon that's going to be locked up for 1,000 years and released for a little while before he gets his behind rightly spanked and thrown into the lake of fire, that old devil has a plan. And it's to remove any vestige, any remembrance, or any image of God in this world from the face of it. And that means you and me, because you and I are made in the image of God. And the devil hates every one of us. But you see, this Bible, this King James Bible, tells a different story. It tells a real story. It tells that there is a devil. It mentions that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell and lake of fire to be shunned. It tells of a God that loved his creation, that's you and me, so much that he sacrificed one third part of the Godhead, his son Jesus Christ, to pay for yours and my sins. You might think, well, where's the pluses for God in that? The pluses for God in that is our immortal souls get saved. Do you remember the comparison the Lord made between our immortal souls and the riches of this world? What did he say? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Where would be the plus in that? This God that promised there would always be his word in the face of the earth until the earth burns has been busy up and down history for the whole of history, causing his men to write down things that would happen in nearly 500 years later, 3,000 years later, and put them in terms that only you and I would recognize at those times, and so that we can read them and say, how did God know? How can God give an image life? And we're all walking around with phones in our hands where we can watch the latest action movies on, or talk to each other, and it's a picture on a little sheet of plastic that seems to be alive. My goodness. God paid for it all. He has put in all the effort. He has done all the work. He has divinely preserved his word. He has divinely provided sacrifice for our sins. He has divinely given himself to us in the Holy Spirit, who will dwell with those that have by faith accepted his Son as Savior, repentant of their sins, to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To seal us, like Noah sealed the ark inside and out until the day of redemption. He has done that for us. And all he asks for us to do is to admit that we're wrong. And he's right. Do you know what, God? I have been doing it wrong. I am so sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? That's all it took this miserable sinner to get saved. Prayer I prayed was, Lord, you know I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know I'm a sinner. And the people in this church don't know a thing about me. Would you please save me? And that's all it took. Remember the man that stood at the back of the synagogue and smote his breast? What did he say? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he wouldn't even look up whilst the Pharisee was standing like that, thanking God that he wasn't like the dregs of humanity at the back of the church. God has a plan. A plan that keeps minds and bodies in one piece. A plan that keeps families and finances together and sensible. That gives souls a holy love for lost souls and even saved souls. He gives people a purpose, a noble purpose, the seeking and saving of souls. He gives us Jesus' job. The devil wants God's job, but he only wants the glory bit of God's job, sitting in the big chair. He doesn't want the job of going around and saving souls. He just wants to look good. He's given us a new home in eternity. A new and a glorified body. Anybody, any aches or pains, God has a body for you with no aches or pains. And this past month or two, I am looking forward to that more than I have done in the past. He's given us a cast iron guarantee that he will keep us in the palm of his hand and no man shall ever pluck us out. That's the guarantee. The words are actually quoted in the Word of God in red, which means it's Jesus' own words. He gives us of himself every moment of every day. And I don't know about you, friends, but sometimes there's all sorts of stupid thoughts go through my head, and God is party to them all. And I pity God having to listen to that static. It must be like a bad TV channel sometimes. Until the days that I decide to, or the moments that I decide to grab a hold of my thoughts and just stop and chat to them. God listens to all of that. And he loves us still. That's the amazing thing. He loves us still. We mentioned that he gives us a love for the brethren, but I neglected to say that if you can love Christians, then there's something special about you. There's something that lost men don't have, because lost people won't be able to stand a real, honest-to-goodness, Bible-believing Christian for very long, because they talk about Jesus. And they talk about sin and the penalty for sin. And whenever they do that, they remind those that have not had that penalty saved that that penalty is going to be due some of these days. He's kept this book for us. People say, oh, it's the most widely sold book in the world. Well, they might say the Bible is the most widely sold book in the world, but the King James Bible is not the most widely sold book in the world. It's the most hated book in the world. Even, and it's hated most in churches. The NIV and the HIV and the Good News for Modern Man. There's even a manga Bible. I'm sure it shows the Lord Jesus Christ doing flying back kicks to kill the devil or slapping around the face. Isn't that what they do in mangas? Kung Fu and all this stuff. One of the things that people are literally dying for and killing themselves for and worrying about is the little promise that's realized whenever we tell God everything in Philippians 4. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's a promise from God. I'm going to tell you something, friends, it works. You should definitely try it. And of course, the promise that if you keep listening to God, and not just a hearer of the word, but a doer also, everything will work out for the best in your life. That might seem stupid to people that are a man that works in a bank. And all that he can understand or see or process in his mind is a spreadsheet screen full of figures. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you give away some of your money every week for no profit to yourself? That makes no sense whatsoever. Why would you settle down with a wee girl that doesn't flaunt her body on the dance floor every Friday and Saturday night? Well, because I don't want somebody else seeing her and her getting involved in something that she doesn't need to be involved in. I heard a woman, I think it was Christine, said that we don't want any take-backs. Was that what it was? Was it you or your brother saying to the sons?
Take-ups.
Take-ups. No take-ups.
Take-me-ups.
No take-me-ups.
No take-me-ups.
Say, oh, I would need to practice living with people to make sure I'm compatible with them. That's everywhere, friends. That is one of the things that God says you shouldn't do in case the whole of the land will be given over to whoredom and cross. I'm going to tell you something, friends, right now. I have never known a prostitute. Never. I don't know any girl that was ever a prostitute. But I know what prostitutes do. They sell their bodies for money. That's what they do. They sell their time, and anything one of their clients wants them, they'll get money for it. You know, the generations coming up now will give their bodies away for nothing. They're not even as smart as a streetwalker. They'll give their bodies away and they'll think they're having a grand old time. There is a technical term for that. It's called being stupid people. The fools of this world are not the people that are worshipping a God that they can't see. They can see his footprints in the sand. I have experienced evidence of God in my life. I've seen him work in people's minds right in front of me as I talk to them about Jesus. You can see the shutters coming down, or you can see them rolling up. It always happens one way or the other. And to follow the teachings that the world, the flesh, and the devil seems to have no end of is a mug's game. It's a loser's game. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible is in Hebrews. It says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. No one's ever going to get to heaven by knocking on the doors. And Jesus said, I changed the criteria for getting into heaven. You don't have to be just saved. You have to be saved, and you have to have a scorecard like the Jehovah's Witness have that ticks all the days that you did good works for me. That'll never happen. There'll be people coming into heaven. Some will be coming in with loads of good works. And there'll be some coming in empty-handed. Do you know what the important thing is? They'll be coming into heaven. That's the important thing. Their souls be saved. And that's what's important. And that's what God wants. The world, the flesh, the devil does not want it. And they will always try and fabricate a substitute or a counterfeit for every good thing that God offers. But the stuff that people are believing today is rotting them from the inside out and eating them alive. Chewing them up and spitting them out when the flavor's gone. God has never done that. One of the last things that God said, Jesus said, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never cast you out. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a comforter. He will never leave you. He'll always be there. That's the promise of God. Does anybody know what the population of London is? Is it like 20 million or something like that? That is one of the loneliest and friendliest places in the world, with one of the highest population densities in the UK. I remember speaking to a wee woman, walking past her, minding my own business, and I just said, good morning. And she looked at me like I'd pulled a gun on her and asked her for her purse. I'm not joking. I'm going to tell you something else. I have walked in Protestant housing estates. I've walked in Catholic housing estates. And without fail, you can say hello pretty much to anybody and they'll say hello right back to you again. But I'm going to tell you something else. Whenever I come to church, Bethel, or indeed Grace Bible or Black Creek, whenever we're visiting in America, just as two examples of other churches. And even with the folks up in Alton McElvin there, and the folks out in the Independent Methodist. I have not seen people in some of those churches for years, and yet every time I see them, there's a warm welcome and a hello and a how are you. The Spirit in me beareth witness with the Spirit in you, or indeed them, that we are or are not the children of God. God's plan works. God's way works. It keeps us all, gives everybody a fair shake, and keeps us all pointing in the same direction. And as long as we stick to it, it'll be grand. It might seem like a foreign language to those that are lost and going to heaven. Why in the world would you turn up at church 2, 3, 4 times a week? Why would you go out and warn people and put wee leaflets in through the doors? Because people need to know. And you might not know the value of a human soul, but God does, and he asks us to reach out to them and tell them about sin and judgment to come. And more than that, it keeps us out of bother. If anybody ever accuses Will or me of robbing a bank or anything on a Saturday morning, there'll probably be a couple of hundred people that can say otherwise because leaflets went in their doors. So we're covered on a Saturday morning, Will. So after that, however you're on there. God loves his creation. Even the worst of us, God loves and wants saved. And calls upon us. But he said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. I think that's, I can't remember where that is exactly. Ezekiel 18:32, might be right, can't recall. But he mentions that a few times in the Old Testament. God loves us. We're in the flesh, the devil doesn't give two monkeys about us. Honestly. When Norman and I were working on the church, that was 2021, Norman, we would be comparing notes on what was happening over in America. And one of the things, a phrase that became very repeated was, just wait till you see, they'll eat each other alive. Anybody that's up to wickedness, devilment, and mischief, eventually, they eat each other alive. We saw it borne out with Harry and Meghan. And we see that come to pass very recently with a few other people as well. But most spectacularly in the news and in politics. People that are up to wickedness and devilment eat each other alive. won't think twice. What was the old F2 Brute with the knife in the back? Don't think twice about it. God's people is a different beast altogether. And if there is a man that can take a self-centered, lying, cheating, thieving, whoremonger, brute, and turn him into someone that can sit in a church and praise God for the great things that he has done, make him honest, diligent, faithful, a good father or a good mother, a good parent or a good son or daughter, I'm going to take that, God. I'm going to take that. Because I have seen what the world can take and do to people, and it's not pretty. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Our closing hymn is number 39, Morning is Broken. Let's stand, folks. Let's make a joyful noise. Number 39 in the wee black books, Morning is Broken. For that we are dismissed. Amen.